Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, February 28th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. We are so pleased to welcome James Gilliland back to Starseed Radio Academy. His stewardship of the East Seti Ranch in Washington State has spanned over 25 years of enlightened contact with extraterrestrial intelligence, which is what happens there. At the base of Mount Adams, it's been a hot spot for UFO activity for years, and as James says, contact has begun. At his website, eseti.org, that's ECETI.org, you can see numerous videos and photographs of the off-world visitors to the ranch and their craft. Thousands of people have visited the ranch over the years and had life-changing experiences, as well as spontaneous healings as a result of this enlightened contact and the classes that are offered there, including Qigong and self-mastery. James has been speaking on behalf of the off-world cultures, helping to spread the truth of their agenda and history here, and the process of our own spiritual awakening through his books, such as Reunion with Source, Becoming Gods, and The Ultimate Soul Journey, as well as his lectures, videos, DVDs, and radio. He has his own radio show on World Pujan Network called Contact Has Begun, and that's World PUJA Network. And James will be joining us in a few moments here. We'll be starting the show tonight with the first segment of a new series we're presenting called High Strangeness with Anastasia, who's one of our Starseed consultants. She'll be telling her own story of contact with ETs and how she grew because of it. It's intended to help others deal with the confusion that can follow an encounter with high strangeness. Each week, we'll give you another 10-minute segment as the story unfolds, so make sure you hear them in sequence. We want to thank Sahar this evening for hosting the switchboard, and if you have questions for James, please call in on 917-889-8292 and then press 1 so we know you'd like to come on the air. If you like our show, remember to click follow on our show page and then tell a friend about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started with the first 11-minute segment of High Strangeness in just a moment, followed by James Gilliland. But first, I'd like to tell you that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone consultation. You can find out if you have star markings and how they determine your natural state and rites of passage. We now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for contactees and abductees, so check out Sierra's World on our main site. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing at least a week beforehand. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so be sure to make the most of it. And now I would like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello, Lavendar.
I am here. Sierra, are you there?
Sierra is not here yet.
Okay.
And as I told you earlier today, she broke her arm last weekend, so I know she'll be tuning in a few minutes.
Okay, great. Well, I'm very proud to do these 10-minute segments for Anastasia, and so I think you should just go ahead and start it.
Okay, we will, and then after that segment, we will be introducing James Gilliland.
Okay,
so this is High Strangeness with Anastasia, Part 1.
Starseed Hotline has another great counselor on our website. Her name is Anastasia. Today I'd like to bring Anastasia on, and we're going to call these segments High Strangeness with Anastasia. We're going to be, in the coming weeks, doing little short excerpts, maybe 10 minutes at a time. So this will be part one. So Anastasia, welcome.
Oh, I am so glad to be with you and all the Starseed Lavendar. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to this. It's really great to be with you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to get acquainted with the Starseed and have them get to know me a little bit better and talk about all these wonderful things.
Your consulting work is awesome. People need to know that you have had some incredible experiences that give you the wisdom and the clarity to be able to talk to people that are needing assistance. You navigate in areas where I don't navigate. I go more for the galactic tracking aspect, and then you go more for the human aspect. And that's great, because we have to have a little of both. You do so wonderfully with down-to-earth behavior. And I know that when I call you to talk to you about something that that possibly I can't see myself, you always have such great insight. So I appreciate that so much. But today I want you to start out by telling us a little bit about something that's happened with you in the past that we would call high strangeness.
I guess I'll start with Mount Shasta, where I'm from. And most of you are familiar with Mount Shasta. I was originally born in the Midwest, and my parents moved to California when I was 2 years old and moved right into the base of the mountain, which is no coincidence, obviously. And I grew up with all that beautiful countryside and clean water, best water on earth, and all of just the wonderful energy that that mountain emanates. And so I was blessed to grow up really connected to nature and connected to those energies that are around that place. And I've been away from there now for probably 30 years, a long time, but I spent 25 years of my life there. And this is where I began to discover myself and innate gifts, abilities to see and to know things. And, of course, probably most of you are aware that Mount Shasta is well known for its UFO activity, and that the I Am Foundation started there with the works of Guy Ballard. And so it was a very interesting place to grow up for a young person that was budding in clairvoyance or learning those things. And we used to have just so many sightings of craft. Sometimes it was nightly. And even the neighbors would go out and climb up on their roofs and watch the skies, because there was just always something going on. And I grew up in a little town adjacent to the city of Mount Shasta. It's not really a city, but that's what they call it. A little lumber town, and fascinating. It was way behind its time. Even when I was a child, we had crank telephones and wood heat and wooden sidewalks, and so I kind of got the benefit of being cross-generational, because I got to experience things that people in that time period, you know, didn't have crank telephones, but we did, and they had gas heat and we had wood heat. So it was an interesting way to grow up. High strangeness occurred probably at about the age of 3. But my first earliest memory is being visited by beings when I was out playing in my sandbox making mud pies. And I remember the sun. I always loved the sun, and I would go out and play with Mr. Sun. And while I was playing one afternoon, I noticed that the sun got very large and bright and began to move. And I thought I was just chattering away, talking to Mr. Sun to come and play with me in the sandbox. And lo and behold, it did. The light got brighter and brighter and larger and came down over the sandbox until all I could see was yellow, golden light all around me. Everything turned gold. And in that light, I was able to see two beings. And who gave me a message, and then the sun took off and went back up into the sky. And that was, again, at the base of Mount Shasta, where we were living. And soon after that, I began to be able to see things that other people couldn't see. as I matured, it really reached its intensity or apex at about the age of 14, 15. I had many experiences where I was able to see through clothing, see through walls. Now, that was fascinating. I could, I would be able to tell what kind of underwear people were wearing. And
I know.
What
I
they
went
had
through, I, you know what? I went through that before. You, it's called X-ray vision. And you,
yeah.
and you kind of go, oops. There's times when that still happens to me, and I'll
yeah.
be walking along and I'll be looking at people and they won't have clothes on, and I go, oops.
Exactly. And you take it in stride, but looking back on it now, I find it quite humorous because one time I made the mistake very innocently, you know, of commenting to someone about her underwear, and she said, how do you know what I'm wearing? And all of a sudden it was my best friend, but all of a sudden I found myself turning beet red and thought, oh my gosh, how do I explain this?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd like to comment on when you were three. You know,
yes.
it's wonderful that you can still remember that. What they did was they allowed you to remember it so that it would stay fresh with you throughout your life. A lot of
mm-hmm.
people that they come to, they give them little shots of non-remembrance where they, you know, they don't remember the early
mm-hmm.
happenings like two or three or four. So
true.
So they
yes.
intentionally let you remember that. And also,
yes.
I think, you know what else happened as I was tracking what you were saying?
Oh.
They were upping your DNA. They were giving you extra energies that would surface for you later.
Well, I think that's absolutely accurate, Lavendar, because truly I needed it, as it turned out. As with most starseed, many starseed, my life was one of great hardship, and oftentimes we need that extra energy to get us through because it's not an easy path. That's really absolutely right. I remember and I recall at about the age of five, I was sitting on the back stoop one afternoon. We had an old wooden porch and old wooden screen doors and banged and clanged, and my favorite spot was to go sit on the back porch. And there was something going on in the house. I don't know. I had a teenage sister that I think was giving my mother some problems, and there was a little bit of yelling going on. So I just took my little self out to sit on the back stoop, and I can remember very distinctly, very vividly, sitting there with my chin in my hand, consoling myself, and I said to myself, well, these grown-ups are being very bad, and I'm just going to remember all the things that God and the angels told me, and then I'll feel better. And then I sat there, and to my astonishment, even I suddenly realized to my despair that I couldn't remember, and that I couldn't remember what it is that I wanted to remember. So at that very moment, the veil dropped and left me feeling very, very bewildered. Because up to that moment, all of the secrets that I had known and all of the things that I had taken comfort in as to my purpose in the world had just disappeared. It evaporated. And I could not understand why I could not remember what I had been thinking about every moment of my life up until that moment. So I learned that people go through experiences when the veil drops and they do forget.
Well,
and,
let me just say to you that maybe your memory bank and your little brain forgot, but your soul didn't forget, and the DNA didn't forget. And it was always going to be active throughout your life, and in that 11th hour, whenever you would need help, you could always pull on it.
Yes, and that's happened frequently, absolutely, you know, throughout my life. Things come, and you don't know. You say, well, where did that come from? Well, it's deep within. And one of the tricks of learning to adapt to who you are in this world when you don't really fit in and you're different and you have a sense of connection to the divine that the mainstream doesn't seem to have or understand is the ability to go inside of yourself, which is really hard now, as we know, Lavendar, because there are so many distractions. And it's one of the big struggles that starseed have, is getting quiet and being calm to access that internal knowledge that each one of us has about our path and our mission. It's all in there. One of the things that I really find important when I'm working with people is to gently coax them to take the time to have a daily spiritual practice to go inside to access that information that has been sublimated. We have all that we need to know if we will just be still and get in touch with that.
Yeah, being still in today's world is like you know, turn off the TV, turn off internal chatter and, mm-hmm. and other people around you, and just kind of, we call it circle up, just circle up.
Right, that's a really good term. That's I like that.
Yeah, just circle up.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, anyway, after the age of 14, when the X-ray vision started and the wonderful insights I would get about physics, which was just fascinating, and I never did pursue a career in science. I don't know why, but I guess I felt I had didn't need it. But I would have these downloads that would come frequently where Einstein's theory of relativity seemed like child's play, and the geometry of consciousness was as clear as day, and all of the types of things that people write books about now and wonder about. At the early age of 14, 15, I was getting these in downloads instantaneously when it all seemed so incredibly simple. And that's how spirit works. We can know things in an instant that take many lifetimes for people to learn in a traditional sense, because our souls, our spirits, you know, as you well know, and everybody that's listening to this program probably understands that none of this is linear. And it's all contained in one moment. Which points to the fact that in human life or 3D life, we think we need to go to school and learn everything and do the best we can to get a good education. But when things like this happen to you at an early age, one gets sort of a different perspective, because any of this information that we spend so much money and time to acquire, not that I don't think we should have an education, because I think we should, but the point being is that all of the information in the cosmos is available to us at any given second or millisecond. If we're meant to have it, it's all out there. We can learn anything in a moment just by connecting to our higher selves.
Right,
because all that stuff's already known.
Yes, yes. And we're coming to the end of our segment one, and we're going to be having these segments for the next few weeks. So I just want to remind everyone that Anastasia is on our website, and if you want a consultation, you can go on and call 888-881-0881 and dial her number when it comes up. And also, you'll be able to go on and order a session with her, and it will be something that will certainly uplift your heart. So with that, Anastasia, we'll stop for today, and back to you, Ariel.
Well, thank you so much, Lavendar and Anastasia, for part one of High Strangeness, and we'll have another 10-minute segment next week. And now we have James Gilliland with us online, and we're going to bring him on just a second here. Hello, James. You're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, well, it's just a pleasure to have you here. You're just so a fountain of information and and great spiritual centeredness. I've been watching videos of you, and you just cover so much information. I guess I want to start with, in case people have not, heard you before or aware of what you do, just kind of give a little bit of what is the East Shetty Ranch and why do you, how does it continue?
Okay, basically the East Shetty Ranch, East Shetty stands for Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and it's a whole different approach. Basically, it started out as just a healing center that after I had a near-death experience, I was guided and shown visions of it and everything. So that was, oh God, I'm trying to think how many years, I can't even remember, 30 years ago, I guess, when that happened. When the near-death experience, but it was a sequence of events that led me here, and I've been here about 25 years building this retreat center. It's at the base of Mount Adams. People call it UFO and Paranormal Central. It was a very eclectic place. We had lamas and yogis and taught all kinds of practices, Eastern practices, did a lot of process-oriented therapies. Deep meditation techniques. Mainly that was our focus here. I wasn't focused on the ETs at all. They just came with the process. Mm-hmm. And so basically that's how it came about.
And what did you experience near death?
Well, I went through the tunnel that everybody talks about. I saw a lot of different levels, but because of previous training, past life training, which I'm aware of now, I realized not to stop and talk. So even though there was relatives and all these other people along the way, I just kept going. And I ended up in this, what they call the plane of bliss, which is the only way I can explain it. It's a golden white light of just pure consciousness and energy. And it's the most loving, joyous, blissful energy you can think of. And, you know, pure, just pure joy and security when you're in this energy. And a lot of people say you're being held in the arms of God. There's all different names for it, in the cradle of God or the plane of bliss. You know, there's a lot of different terminologies for this experience, but it totally changed my life. I realized that definitely there was a God. You know, it wasn't a little old man with a laptop and a computer. You know, it was neither male or female. It was beyond that. And I was just so grateful and so honored and humbled by the experience that I just wanted to give back. You know, I wanted to give back to the source, you know, for that experience.
Well, that makes sense. Now, so you started as a retreat center, and you got the energy of the center with, you know, with a peaceful, loving, spiritual vortex that you got spinning there, and mm-hmm. you think that the UFOs showed up because of the energy of the place.
Yeah, that's one of those chicken or the egg stories, because what I realized later is that I actually incarnated to do this. I was not aware of it at the time. It was part of my own unique soul evolution. So it's kind of interesting. Like I came in to do this. I got totally lost and embroiled in social consciousness. And then I had another awakening and then got back on track. So it is, you know, and it is. We rose to the occasion here. We actually created a sacred space so we could actually engage these spiritually and technologically advanced beings, which is almost totally opposite of some of the other programs in ufology. I mean, they're so busy fighting and bickering over, you know, who's who and, you know, is it nuts and bolts? Is it black ops? Are they dark? Are they negative? Are they here to conquer us and, you know, service up as human pilaf? You know, are they good? Are they bad? You know, and you know, there's no agreement there and there's no cooperation. So anyway, that program, and I got very involved in that, speaking at major conferences and things like that. And I just finally told everybody, I go, look, you guys, I go, what's the end goal here is to find out the truth and make contact. And why would anybody want to contact us if we're behaving in this manner? So anyway, that was one of the last times I was asked to speak at one of the major conferences, because they thrive on that. You know, they thrive on the conflict and, you know, the drama and everything else. So anyway, that was, I realized I just needed to do my own thing after that.
Right. Well, then, and I know that there's a lot of infiltration in those organizations as well. So, and you cannot approach this from an intellectual, academic stance.
No. It's a multidimensional experience, and two, it's more infiltrated than you would imagine. And it, you know, if you just look at the backgrounds, find out where people get their funding from. You know, listen to their concepts. Are they following the agenda, you know, of the New World Order or whatever? You'll see that a lot of them are very involved in eugenics. They really believe we need to reduce the population. They believe in transhumanism, you know, that we have to shift out of being human and organic almost. And then you'll find out that a lot of them are actually funded by, you know, some of our illustrious New World Order boys. You know, it's amazing. It goes so deep that, and, you know, a lot of them, too, are out of military intelligence, straight out of military intelligence. So, you know, and talk show hosts and all kinds of things. So It is so deep. I mean, when you go down that rabbit hole, you'll be amazed at how controlled the information is and on what comes out.
Right. So as soon as you get sucked into that, it's almost guaranteed that you are going to be going around the merry-go-round and not getting anywhere as far as the truth is concerned.
Yeah. If you're working with the interdimensional ones, or you have an interdimensional mind and you try to go outside their boxes or tell them that they have a little piece of the pie but not the whole pie, you're not going anywhere. you will be chewed up and spit out of that system, and that's the way it is. It's sad that, I'm not trying to be judgmental, it's just the way it is. That's the way it's set up at this time.
Right. Well, I think that kind of I don't know if it's a smoke and mirrors game where, here is the truth. It's been leaked out. who leaked it? You have to always track, like you said, where are they getting their money? Who are they answering to? So you have kind of removed your whole experience from that. And with the eSETI Ranch and the work that you're doing, you've completely gotten into alignment. And that's really what it is about, isn't it? To be aligning to this frequency of unity and knowing, as you have learned over the years, that their agenda has been for millennia to assist with the spiritual development of a civilization.
Yes, definitely.
And as I've heard you say on one of your videos, as well as and the same thing that Lavendar has said, is that this planet was seeded originally by extraterrestrials, and that the what they call the junk DNA is really our extraterrestrial heritage, and that DNA can be activated at certain times. Now, do you think that with being in 2012 now, are they activating a lot of this like DNA in their offspring, for lack of a better word, is that responsible for a lot of the transitions that are going on are just rampant?
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. They are. There's several things going on. One, the sun itself is activating. The sun is conscious. People think it's just a light, but it's not. It's a consciousness. And there's higher intelligence actually coming through the sun that's activating a lot of DNA. I sometimes wonder that might be why the chemtrails are so prevalent. One of the reasons why, because they don't want people waking up and figuring things out. But the other thing too is that we can activate it ourselves from within by doing spiritual practices, and this is actually scientifically proven. They've found out that lamas and yogis and people that meditate on a regular basis actually have more of their DNA activated than others, and that's there's been a lot of research into that. And the other way too is that the higher beings can come in and do activations. So there's a lot of different ways, and what I've seen is that there are certain groups out there, let's say the Orion Council of Light or the Pleiadians or the Andromedans, the Arcturians, all those beings can actually activate that dormant DNA because theirs is activated. And so whenever you put an activated DNA pattern together with one that is inactive, automatically, it's going to start resonating with the activated one. And, and so that's that being in the presence, the more you're in the presence of this higher consciousness and energy or this activated DNA pattern, the more your DNA is going to be activated.
So like begets like.
Yes. Yeah. It's like sympathetic resonance in a way.
Right.
It's like they did that test where they, I can't remember exactly how they did it, but they shot the pattern of DNA pattern of a frog into a salamander, and the salamander egg became a frog. It's kind of like there's subtle energies and patterns that are always being transmitted, and we're picking up those patterns even physically. Our physical bodies are actually picking up these transmissions of these patterns. So the transmissions are actually coming from an organic or natural process, which is, you know, the alignment with galactic plane and things like that. And it's also, or it's an evolutionary process. And then there's other beings that are tinkering with consciousness and energy, you know, and assisting us in this process.
When, like I said, during this time of 2012, people that I've talked to, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people as well, they seem to be noticing that everything is speeding up.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost a time compression.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that, or what do the ETs have to say about that?
Well, I think you have it right as far as the time compression. It's almost like more things are fitting in the same capsule of time, or more experiences are happening, you know, within that time. So we are definitely going through a time compression till we get to no time, to that space where time as we know it is just not going to be operating on the same linear level that we're operating now. And I think that's the big shift, you know, that we go into around, you know, 2012. But we're in it now. Yeah, yeah, we're in it. I always tell people everybody's waiting for the big event. Well, you can rise to the occasion and create the big event now if you want. It's all up to you. I wouldn't keep putting things out into the future and waiting for somebody else or something else to do it for you. We really need to do our homework and start activating our own DNA and get as close as we can to this process, because then we'll go through it much easier, much more graceful than, you know, like we're either going to get hit by a feather or a brick, depending on our frequency, you know, and how dense we are.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it does seem like the lines are being drawn, where if you are in the up spiral, you are in alignment, your existence is not at the expense of another person or the
mm-hmm.
planet. That's like one side of the line. And then there's the other side of the line where it's more down spiral, and people engaged in non-sustainable or warlike practices. And it seems like there's a schism that's happening, and it's going really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the difficult thing is that if someone that you have loved or been close to, or even, you know, a member of your family, and you realize that they are not in alignment, that can be very traumatic, I would think.
Oh, you know, it is traumatic, and it is happening right now. And, you know, this last week has just been a roller coaster, and one of the most tumultuous times I've seen the past couple of weeks, because some energies came through and a lot of people didn't deal with them very well, and it just pushed everything up to the surface. You know, everybody's deepest fears, you know, their necromancer came right up to look at them, stare them right in the face. And a lot of people went into reactionary mind and started blaming and projecting and looking for a reason outside of themselves for this all to be happening, you know, rather than going into creationary mind and going within and then finding ways of releasing this energy and gaining the wisdom from the experience, so it'll settle into the soul. The people that are in projection and blame are still chasing their tail, you know, with this energy that came in, and the people that learned how to process it and release it and shift back into their center, which is really this loving, joyous God being, are doing really well with this process.
Well, It is definitely a time of choices. And, of course, I mean, everyone on the planet has free will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it's a double-edged sword.
Because
you can choose the light or the dark. And
choose not to participate, too. You can set some boundaries. And that is important sometimes. Just say, you know, I this doesn't feel good, and I just don't want to go there. And they will do everything they can to pull you into that drama. And you can say, you know, this just isn't happening for me. You know, it doesn't work. I'm going to go work on my own stuff. Maybe I suggest you do that too and move on. And you know, we do have that right. I mean, I was tested to the limit with that recently. And, you know, all kinds of things were flying around you know, accusations and assumptions and projections and judgments. And, you know, I just, whoa, you know, and it's coming on every level. I mean, I'd open up my email and go, oh, my God, you know, where are these people coming from? You know, and I just said, you know, I, you know, that doesn't have any hooks in me. You know, that I don't want to participate in that. I don't even need to react to it at all. You know, if something came through and I had a hook, you know, it did. It hooked me. And so I had to go, okay, where did that hook me? You know, where have I given my power away? Evidently, I need this person's love or acceptance or approval. And that's, you know, that's the only reason anybody has any power over you is because you want something from them that you haven't found within. So I always have to look at that. And I have to go back in and go, okay, who is this person? You know, it's like, I like that old saying, you know, I'm sorry, I thought you were me. you know, it's a great saying because, you know, if we would catch ourselves when we are in turmoil and we are running these programs and these old wounds and traumas are coming up, you know, we have to shift gears and go, whoa, wait a second. You know, I need to take a look at this. You know, this is my creation. You know, whether I want to gauge it or not, it's up to me.
Right, and it's actually, it's a difficult thing to embrace, but be grateful for the opportunity because some contrasting energy just gave you a valuable piece of where you might have had a leak in your boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it also pushes you into evolution. It's going to push you to evolve and face, you know, your old wounds and traumas. You know, it's actually there. When you're really there, you thank it. When it comes, you go, God, thank you. You just showed me my hook. You know, you showed me exactly where I need to look and focus my energy for healing and you know, and that's when you're highly evolved. To be honest with you, I still get hooked. You know, I'm not infallible. You know, I'm not the fully enlightened and ascended. Poof out of here, and I'm gone. You know, and I have to do that. I have to catch myself. But I've had years and years of training and doing counseling for God knows how many years that I've you know had a lot of training in that thing. So I'm always self-analyzing and always observing, even myself. There's a part of me observing myself as I'm going through life going, oh, you really screwed up there. You know, you could have handled that one a little better, you know, or,
right.
You know, so.
Well,
so,
I mean, it's physician, heal thyself.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we are so many, I mean, in our starseed community, so many masters and you know, galactic souls that are here with a great mission, but we volunteered to put on the third dimensional excuse me the third dimensional Earth suit, and it is it's an emotional world, and it is ruled by, you know, the subconscious drives and things like that. So it's not to be beating yourself up because you got hooked. It would be
mm-hmm.
beating yourself up because you didn't notice that you got hooked.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite interesting because it, you know, one of the things, like at the ranch here, we're doing something totally different. Something, it may have been done before, but I don't know. Even the higher beings, like you know, I was talking to one of the Palladians once, and it was meditation, and I was having a conversation, and I said, you must look at us like monkeys, you know, the stuff that we do. And she said, no, like we are blown away at what you're taking on and the challenges that you've put yourself in front of and dealing with these energies just head on. She said, we're just in awe. And, you know, we hold you in the highest regard, you know, knowing what you've chosen to do and what you've chosen to incarnate into and work with. So it's a whole different concept of the work here that, you know, some of us are doing things that have never been done before, and we're trying new ways of healing things and new ways of addressing things. And, you know, it's just a big experimentation, and sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not, and we're not, we have to just gain the wisdom from that experience and try another way or another path.
Right. Well, I've always said you can't fail until you stop trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to, as I said, some of your other videos, and you said you were talking about the galactic center, Big Bang,
mm-hmm.
and it really struck a note with me because, you know, I mean, as Lavendar has been tracking star markings and galactic frequencies, finding them at 25, 26, and 27 degrees, and as 26 Sagittarius being galactic center, and there is a map of black holes in the in our solar system and in, you know, our neck of the woods,
mm-hmm.
and there are more black holes at galactic center than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is, it's like you were talking about the birth of creation, and that was so eloquently put. If you could tell that story again, please.
My God, I don't know which story that was, but I'll try.
Well, it was about the black hole representing a galactic womb of creation.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the matriarchal energies, the divine feminine.
Yeah, definitely. The Mayans have it very close, very accurate when they talk about, you know, the center of each galaxy as a black hole. And it's the womb of creation, and all creation comes out of that black hole, is birthed out of that black hole. And so basically everything is family. You know, we're all birthed from the same source. We all came out of that eternal wellspring of consciousness and energy and whatever else, you know, that condensed into matter. But I've always felt that every black hole, or whatever you want to call it, is actually a gateway to another dimension. And each dimension owes its existence to the dimension above it. And so it's a series of black holes or big bangs that brought about creation. And so one of the things that a lot of scientists say, well, they talk about, you know, creation here on Earth or in this Milky Way galaxy, that there was a big bang and everything is radiating outward. Well, the problem with that is you can't have expansion without contraction.
Right.
So you have to have both sides of the equation. And a lot of times they just don't talk about the other side of the equation. And so that's and really it doesn't happen in a linear manner. It's so hard to wrap our minds around this because, you know, it's you know, time, you're going into no time when you're talking about these things. It's not so much linear time, but it's kind of interesting the way I look at it. For me, is that each and every one of us is like a hologram of the whole, and we're kind of a distortion in the unified field of consciousness and energy, whatever you want to call it, and so within that space that we're holding, or that drop in the sea, you know, we have the ability to become the whole sea or be the drop. It's up to us. And the same thing with energy is the same thing. Mass, when you speed it up, it becomes energy. You speed it up again, it becomes light. Speed it up again, it becomes consciousness. And so just as we are multidimensional beings, we also exist in a multidimensional universe and or multiverse, you might say. And basically, if we want to just be a personality and a body and that's our identity, that's where we are. That's our beliefs have actually, you know, created that. And if we want to expand and become a spirit, you know, that has a body, you know, that has a body and a personality, that's chosen just one of many garments to play in as an eternal being, then we can go there. And if we can take the next step and say, hey, I'm a multidimensional spirit existing on a vibrational continuum, and I go all the way back to the source, then you really got something. That's when you're really getting into the, you know, the Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness, whatever you want to call it. You know, mm-hmm. you're plugging into, you know, I call it the big cheese. You know, whatever you want to call it, source or the monad, or, you know, everybody has a name for it, but, you know, that's just my and I don't want to say belief system, because there's always a line belief, but I've had the luxury of experiencing a lot of those other planes and dimensions and the life within those planes and dimensions, and so it's not really a belief for me. It's a reality. It's an experience.
It's a knowing.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. It's not like it happened and then it's over, and so now I need to believe in it. It's still happening. Just like, I think it's funny here that, you know, everybody's waiting for disclosure, you know, and when are they going to contact? You know, the ET's going to contact. And, you know, it's been going on here for years. It's been going on with me ever since I was a kid. And, you know, we went on Hannity, actually, one of the most, you know, with Fox News. You know, probably one of the most, I'm trying to think of the word for it, conservative programs you can get nationwide, you know, talking about the activity here at the ranch. And although they did come out with a kind of a weird agenda when the ships came, they had to deal with it, you know, and they did a pretty good job. And they brought a debunker on, but they allowed me to debunk him before he even started. So it was it was a pretty good interview, you know, a lot of hype in there as usual. But, you know, to me, it's this disclosure's already happened. You know, 86 to 90% of the people believe UFOs exist, that there is a government cover up, you know, according to Time, CNN polls. You know, and I think about the disclosure projects, and I think the disclosure projects are not really to get the president to disclose. Really, they're just to bring it to the press so people can realize that there is something going on and bring all the evidence out. Because I, you know, and this may sound very judgmental, but why go to somebody with a long, long track record of lying to get the truth? Why would you expect anything different? You know,
right?
You know,
like they're suddenly going to become different. The leopard's going to change his spots. I don't think.
Yeah, it's like going to the wolves and the coyotes and saying, "Hey, I need somebody to guard my chickens. I got a problem here." And they go, "Oh, where are your chickens? Yeah, where's your chickens? Yeah, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Go away somewhere." It is. I mean, it's worldwide, and I think in Europe it's more, less repressed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it that way. But
yeah,
I heard
they are disclosing. There's whole countries disclosing. I can't remember how many of them there are, but major countries have just opened their files. I know the UK did. I think France did.
Uh-huh.
I know Mexico and Brazil and a lot of these other countries are really coming out with it. I'm trying to think of where Peru, I guess, and some of these other countries actually have military liaisons for the experience, and they're all coming out and talking, and actually they're having contact. So it's most of the world is aware of what's going on. It's just, you would think in the country where there is, you know, free speech and supposedly free, you know, freedom to know and all these other things with all these acts that we have, you know, the FOIA Act and all these other things, that we would be forthcoming with all this stuff, but they're still keeping a lid on it. And I understand why.
Well, when you think about if they truly understand, excuse me, the nature of the, you know, benevolent unity and the supportive agenda of nearly all off-world cultures, they would put an end to the things that people are making money off. You know, war.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, big pharma and the oil industry. That disclosure would bring us one step closer to finding out that we don't need oil and we don't need drugs and we don't need war.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's certainly those that have a lot to lose from the truth coming out, or they're kicking and screaming, but I don't think that it's going to really matter, because the foundation that they built their empires on is not solid. It's not born from truth and you know, and the right motives, and you can't build a house on lies and expect it to endure.
Yeah, it's almost like a drop of oil in the ocean, and that drop is struggling so hard to maintain its integrity, and it can't. I mean, there's no way, because the forces surrounding it and the forces coming in and just the evolutionary process itself does no longer supports it. So there's no way it can hold on, and it knows that. I mean, these guys know that. They know their day is coming. They know, I call them the powers that were. They can't hang. They know it's over, basically, and they're still trying to do everything they can to maintain control, you know, and keep everybody enslaved through dependency. But, you know, I always tell people, aren't you afraid of them taking you out? And I go, it doesn't matter if they take me out. This isn't about me. You know, this is so far beyond me that, you know, there's, you know, and there are higher beings watching my back as well. But you know, it's so far beyond me that it would be ridiculous. I mean, actually, it wouldn't be in their highest and best good to start taking people out, because that even brings more attention to the situation, and it's counterproductive, and it sheds more light on who they are, which they'd rather remain in secret, you know, and in the shadows.
Have you ever seen a movie called They Live?
I think so.
Where they, I mean, it's really kind of a B movie. The dialogue isn't all that great, and the acting, you know, is. But the premise is that everyone is walking around totally controlled by forces that they can't see, unless they put on these special glasses.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then they can see the truth.
Uh-huh.
You've seen that movie, haven't you?
No, I did. I saw bits and pieces of it and stuff on YouTube. You know, some things that were sent around, but not really. As soon as I got the premise of it, I go, well, that's all I need to know.
Right, right. Well, it's worth a watch if you're, you know, if anyone listening is you know, bored on a Saturday night, wants to rent a movie. They Live. It's really kind of a training film, just to show how widespread, you know, subliminal messages and all the you know, technology that is being used to keep everyone asleep.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, I just went into Portland, and I have a friend. I dropped her off at the airport, and beautiful soul. It was kind of, she has trouble with the energies too. But I went into Trader Joe's there, and I turned around, I got into the parking lot, And I felt this energy that was so agitating and so fear-based and just rattling my cage. And I go, wow, what is this? You know, where is this coming from? And, you know, I watched people almost crash in the parking lot. Somebody almost hit a pedestrian. They just weren't functioning at all in this energy. And I look over and there's these two big towers there. I go, boy, those guys are broadcasting that frequency. And soon as I was aware of it, I just shielded up. I said, okay, that's, you know, I don't need to participate in this. I don't want to be in it for very long. And I got my stuff and got out of Dodge. And as soon as I got far enough away from it, I felt, oh, it's gone. You know, I don't feel that energy. But I've done research into that. Nick Bajic has talked a lot about that and how they are broadcasting through cell towers and Gwyn towers and HARP and everything you can imagine. And they have the frequencies down to scatter people and create chaos and anger and excite people and even sedate people as well, that they can do that all through these towers.
Well, it is rampant, but I think awareness brings transcendence. Like you were awake enough to say, whoa, this is look at all these things happening around me, and you sensed it without participating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had the wisdom to just get out of range.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people, I mean, it's coming through the television sets.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the news that is being created for us to watch. I mean, it's like, did this really happen? I don't think so. So it is around. So how far will the ETs go when they see stuff like that happening? Is that like, look, you guys, you kids, you created this, and if we fix it for you, you will have learned nothing? Is that how they feel?
You know, it's kind of interesting. They've had kind of a hands-off policy for a long time, and I've seen just recently in the past year or so, they're getting very hands-on, and the veil's been pretty much lifted as far as that is going on. So they're very, very busy taking care of things and actually straightening out a lot of the negative influences and some other low-level ET technology that has been given and used, you know, against the people and things like that. So a lot of that's starting to just vanish. You know, a lot of underground facilities are starting to disappear. There's, you know, all kinds of things going on that most of us are not aware of, and you're never going to hear about it in the mainstream news, but I've seen too is that they're very, very active in inspiring people to you know, find their integrity and find their courage and empower them to say, hey, this isn't right. You know, I didn't come here to live a life of poverty and lack and fight with my fellow man and woman and create all this chaos and destroy humanity and the earth. This isn't what I came for. This is totally against my nature. And so they're actually activating people and supporting people inside the system that are just walking away in droves right now. They're just saying, I'm not doing this anymore. This is not what I came here to do. So this awakening process, most of it's being done through consciousness and energy and through the grids here on the earth. They're working, you know, very intensely on that and through inspiration. But now it seems like they are stepping in now and they're just shutting down some of these other systems, you know, and removing some of the other influences that have held us, kind of enslaved us for eons.
Well, this is a scenario that we hear all the time in our work, where people who have really cushy, comfortable corporate jobs with a big paycheck, and they can't take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever, you know, the office politics and the drama and I'll just say down spiral. Energies, you know, of competition and you know, I got mine, you know.
Yeah.
And then they're walking away. They're waking up and walking away from it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing the powers that were didn't count on, and that was soul activation. And although they thought they had it all down with all their technologies and all their other things, they forgot about the inner world and what's happening there and all the soul activation that's going on, and that everybody is created or everybody came from the same source, and it's like the source itself is saying, hey, we're done with this old program. We're going to do a new program, and I'm going to activate everybody to bring their soul up, you know, and kind of override the ego or heal the ego. And when that starts happening, pretty soon you can't function in those worlds anymore. It just grates on your soul to a point where you say, you know, this just doesn't work. I'm not happy here. You know, I'm not doing anything of service here. I'm not a benefit to humanity and the earth. Actually, I'm a detriment, and I just can't do this anymore. And that's what I'm seeing on a global level. People are just going, you know, I'm done with this. This just doesn't work.
Mhm. Yeah, I think it is. It is massively widespread, and it is part of the mission that we think. Every starseed has at least one mission, and that is to contribute to raising global consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because the higher the global consciousness, and correct me if you don't agree with this, but the higher the global consciousness, the less chaos and drama as far as Earth changes. You know, if we were not so parasitic,
mm-hmm.
that the Earth would not have to shake us so violently to get rid of us or wake us up, so that
mm-hmm.
you know, massive influx of starseed souls that have come and incarnated in human bodies have at least one mission, and others have, you know, other, you know, healing or teaching or this or that, but we all have to take our individual light and add it to a collective light to raise the consciousness on the planet, so that the shift will just be not quite as difficult as it might be if we don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to add to that, too. I have a good friend of mine, Michal Ledwith, said, I love what he said. He's sitting there, you know, you'll have a, you know, he likes his wine. We'll have a glass of wine. I drink maybe two glasses of wine a year for mm-hmm. some reason, but not that I'm against it. But, you know, we're sitting there talking, and he'll say, you know, how's your life going? Everything smooth? Everything flowing? And you go, yeah, you know, and he goes, that's too bad. and you go, what do you mean that's too bad? And he goes, well, you're not evolving. You know, you're not challenging yourself. You're not, you know, and it's really true is that. And so that's what I see. The more chaos you see happening right now is the indicator that, hey, things are evolving. We are healing. We are shifting. And it's a good thing. And when the earth changes come, I support it. I go, yeah, let her rip, you know, let her go.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm eternal. You know, I pay attention and I try to flow with these changes. And I know everybody else is eternal, but I love the earth. Yeah, and I really want to support her in her transition and her evolutionary process. And whatever she needs to do, you know, I'm in full support of it, even if it is to throw a 300-foot tsunami at me. If that's what needs to happen to clean this planet up and get it to the next level, then so be it. So it's kind of, I have a different way of looking at things. So I don't see it. I see more of soul evolution and planetary evolution and a forward progression and total support of that. And I don't sweat the small stuff, you know, the little things that are happening. And they're just as important. You know, I'm not saying they're not important, but I think we need to get out of that small stuff consciousness and out of the petty materialism and things like that and start looking at the big picture. You know, if we're going to even have a clue as to what's unfolding.
Mm-hmm. Well, do the ETs, have they said anything to you that would indicate what, you know, like Earth changes, you know, specifically, you know, natural changes that are going to be coming and when?
Well, I'll tell you what I've seen over the years is that I used to be given very, very accurate information, and it's pretty well documented. I gave the San Francisco earthquake, and I gave the exact date and time of that event, and it turned out I gave 6.9. It turned out to be 7.1, but the original reading was 6.9. And there's been several other events, a major quake in Seattle that I saw hit, you know, right on time, and it was documented on Jim Berkland's site. But over here, on Jeff Renz, they asked me, what's the next thing you see in your future, in your immediate future as far as Earth changes? You know, and I said, well, Mount Hood is going to start rattling.
Are you there? Hello, James, we can't hear you. Oh, well. James, we cannot hear you. I don't know if you've been disconnected. I still see you. Yeah. Well, he'll call back in a second, boys and girls. Interesting that he would get dropped off at that moment. I hope he knows and he's not still talking. So, James will be back on in just a second, I'm sure. I was always really wanting to hear what he was about to say. Okay, well, I'm scanning the switchboard here, waiting for James to come back on. Lavendar, I know you're there. You have a comment we need to...
Yes, I'll take it while you work with the switchboard.
Okay.
Yeah, I really loved everything that he's having to say, and especially, you know, I'm very tuned in to the technologies that are messing with our minds, our emotions, and I've, you know, really been tracking this for a very long time. I'm so glad that more and more people are becoming more aware of it. And I was glad that you mentioned that movie, They Live, because it's one of the greatest training films I've ever seen for actually what's happening here with some of the ET factions. So you can get it at Blockbuster or Netflix, or and sometimes they have it on, you know, the cable satellite. So I would love to visit this ranch. You know, it's on our agenda, I guess, at some point to
try to make a trip
up there.
That would be great. I've wanted to do that since the first time James came on, and he is back on the switchboard. So,
yeah.
Okay. Hey there.
Yeah,
interesting time to drop off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're having the snowpocalypse up here right now. We just went through crazy storms and snow and ice storms, and actually had a tree missile go through our roof. But it was quite interesting. I just kind of smiled, you know. I walked up there, I looked down, and go, yeah, that tree came right through the roof. You know, it's like and to be expected. So anyway, going back.
You were talking about Mount Hood.
Yeah, it was rattling and shaking with 45 quakes. But now when I look at things, it's really crazy because it's a big montage or whatever of probabilities. And it's really hard to focus in on things or actually nail things down because things are changing so fast. There's so much intervention right now, divine intervention and human intervention, where people are waking up and changing their destiny. So... you know, I'm coming to the realization now in this free flow form we're in right now. It's as many realities are going to manifest as there are people, and people are making choices, and they're going to end up where they need to be, whatever their experience is. And it's just everything is unfolding so fast. You know, one person may choose to get off the coast just at the right time. Just, you know, they might be called to go see a friend or a family, you know, somebody else, you know, a family member might get sick and they got to go. And, you know, there's so many different things that can alter personal destiny that you can't really nail that down. But I do see, as we move up to 2012, I don't see it as bad as the movie, 2012, but I do see a lot of changes still on the books. I don't know how much intervention is going to be. And I also know something interesting, and this might help people, is that when people do readings like that, what they're reading is what's on the books now.
Right.
And that's constantly changing. And let's say if I talk to a Pleiadian and they're going to tell me this and this and this, and then the Andromedans come in and change it, then what they told me was true for that moment. But another group came in and changed things, and so I have to talk to them again and say, hey, what happened? They go, oh, the Andromedans stepped in and changed that event. So it's like some of them don't know because it hasn't been decided yet, and it hasn't come down through channels, as to what's going to happen. So it's really tough to give any kind of a solid prediction right now because everything's in flux, and there's so many different interventions, and you know, some areas need some major cleanup, the Earth is very dense. There's been a lot of wars in that area. There's been a lot of trauma, and so it's all psychometrized into the Earth, and so it has to go through a cleansing. And there's some areas that are moving in the right direction, and they're cleaning up the energy through group consciousness and action. You know, even in Seattle, they're creating this a farm forest now, where they're taking this huge piece of land and they're filling it with every kind of fruit or vegetable that'll grow up here, and it's whoever comes first. So I mean, cities are waking up, whole cities are starting to wake up, and really that's the way things should be. But in Hawaii, their whole thing was to create the whole island as a food bank, and so really there's parts of Hawaii that you would never go hungry if you just paid attention.
So all the different scenarios that can go on, all the possible realities with between divine intervention and intervention of, I mean, do we as humans and as a collection of souls have obviously then the power to release the dense energies from certain areas and avert maybe something that could have happened there because of dense energies and records of war and things like that. So if we can clean up the energy with conscious intent and shift it to a higher frequency, then the Earth doesn't need to erupt in that spot.
Oh, definitely. And also, too, where are you doing it from? You know, if you do a meditation and you go up the vibration continuum and you hook into your God self and then put the intent to come back down through the continuum from your own God self level into this event, then you're really working with something. You know, some people are running around with a little Bic lighter and some people have a flamethrower, you know. So so it's I don't know if that's the right analogy, but, you know, it's that where are you doing it from? You know, are you doing it from a victim role or are you doing it from your own God self? You know, so and sometimes when we go up to the higher levels and we look down at something, we go, wow, this is just the way it should be, that maybe I'm not supposed to do anything here. And I've had experiences like that. I've had experiences in a counseling. Sometimes I'll be doing a counseling for someone and they'll say, stop. And I go, what do you mean stop? And they said, no, they have to walk through this. This is something they need to do. And they've been really lazy about dealing with their own stuff and their own issues. And they're coming to you thinking that you're going to wave a magic wand. So they'll tell me, actually, no, don't work on this one. This person has some cleanup to do, you know, and they might have a history of just continuing and no real deep soul, you know, sometimes there needs to be a deep soul remorse over certain things and really asking for forgiveness from a very deep level to clear those. And they're not in that space. They just want to throw down a few shekels and everything's going to get cleaned up. And it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
Right. Well, it's all about truth, and being true to yourself is part of
that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes nature just needs to really spank you. You know, it's like your ego needs a real spanking, you know, before you're going to low. And that's the way it is with some of the powers that were. You know, they need an experience, and they probably need a physical experience, or they need to be physically stopped from doing what they're doing, or isolated, or whatever. You know, so. So it just depends on what a soul needs for evolution, and what we're doing, you know, where we're doing it from. That's the most important thing. I love that saying Muhammad said. He said, there's no perfect men, there's only perfect intentions. And so that's all we can do, is hold the highest intent for people and their evolution, and not get into any kind of control as to how that happens. You know, release it and let the universe do what it needs to do.
Right, right. Now let's talk a little bit about the divine feminine energy and how and what role it is playing in this shift.
Yeah, it's funny that you ask that, because my whole left side is lighting up right now before you ask that question, and that's my feminine, like the Palladian energy coming in. So it's we're on the same page. But, yeah, definitely we're very imbalanced. You know, we're a very imbalanced world right now, and it's gone so far into the mental patriarchal program that it needs a reboot and a real push in the other, you know, to bring balance back. And we're in that process, and the divine feminine is pressing so strong right now. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that when you say the divine feminine, there are a lot of beings involved in that. I mean, there's goddesses, there's beautiful feline beings. The Palladian is very, very feminine energy. Most of the Palladian energy is very feminine. You know, Mary Magdalene, all of those energies are all working together to bring this about. And so whenever you say Mary, you might as well just say Palladian, you know, because in the big picture, that's where their roots came from. You know, so it's hard for people to explain, but, you know, the most ancient of races that we know about are Lyrian from Lyra, and Mary's genetic roots go all the way back to Lyra, the first colonies. And Lyra split up, and they had their wars and had some problems. And then they moved on, and some of them colonized the Pleiades, the Hades, and the Orion system. And then they came to Earth, Mars, and Melona, or Maldek. Everybody has a different name for that one, the planet that blew up, that's the asteroid belt now. But when you look at the big picture, even in genetics, and you look at the progression of spirit as well, it's quite interesting. It's very, very tied into the Pleiades. I think the divine feminine energies coming in right now are the majority of is Pleiadian energy that's creating the big shift right now.
Well, of all these different races and cultures that are working in concert with each other, it's our understanding that the Pleiadians have jurisdiction, or they have the helm. They're in the driver's seat.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got that, because I've been trying to tell people that they have more genetic stock in this planet, and they actually created the first, the two major colonies, not the first colonies, there's beings before that, but the ones that we know about that weren't myths, you know, Atlantis and Lemuria were actually Palladian colonies. They started out from the Pleiades and attracted other beings to them. But other star nations came in as well. But we are a mix of 12 major star nations that are kind of overseeing this experiment. And right now the Palladians have more stock than anybody, both spiritually on a soul level and genetically. So basically, the scepter has been passed to them by the Grand Wazoo Council, whatever you want to give it, whatever name.
Yeah,
you want
right.
It. You know, they've had their meetings, they've had their, and they've decided, and basically, and we're in a huge cleanup process right now where they're cleaning up, you know, the hijackers that came here and reset the original intent, because the original intent was the earth. The earth was going to become an Eden and a place where people could evolve to their highest potential and experience the physical. And it got hijacked by lesser evolved souls, both human and off world. And you know, they took it down a pretty dark path, and now it's being reset, and there's a huge cleanup process right now underway.
And if I'm getting this correctly, though, that all these various races and cultures, whether they're, you know, Orion, Andromedan, Arcturian, you know, the feline, where are the felines from?
Well, you know, the felines, it's interesting because there is one that is very humanoid looking, and they look like a humanoid cat being beautiful beings. They're fifth dimensional beings. And what they told me is they originated out of Sirius, but they also have been involved with they work hand in hand with the Pleiadians and other groups as well. So they're kind of colonized all over the place. And then there's six dimensional ones that look more like panthers, and they can be upright or even on all fours. And they're very tall. They're about 12 feet tall. And then they have the lion beings that are about, you know, 16 to 17 feet tall, and they're humanoid like lion beings, and they're upright. And when I've seen them, they've been upright, and they are, you know, the benevolent protectors. They actually protect the gods is what their main function is. But very funny, though. I mean, they're not scary at all. If you're in the right headspace and you have pure intent, an open mind, a loving heart, or whatever, and if you're just basically a good person, you have no problem with any of these beings. But if you go there with ill intent, you're going to have a serious problem, you know.
Right. Well, I guess my point was that they have, at their high level of evolution, have learned to work together, even though they are different races.
They have
a unity and a unison of purpose. I imagine that all the different, you know, cultures, races, species, whatever
mm-hmm.
call them, all have genetic stock on the planet. That they have offspring in a manner.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet they all follow this same universal law, code, divine plan, and that's really the example for us to follow, because we're just we're children, but we're going to grow up to be just like our parents, and that's like, we're kind of comforting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
we will get there.
Yeah, they evolved to a level of where they see the creator in all creation, and they've evolved to the level of where they just serve. I mean, they don't need anything. They've transcended all material need and things of that nature, and they're just in pure service mode. You know, unfortunately, what's sad, I want to, you know, drop down a little bit, but, you know, on Coast to Coast and some of the other shows, all I hear is this negative agenda, you know, and trying to promote these evil beings, and it's all evil and it's all demonic, and you know, they've got this Bible scholar and he's got it all figured out because it's all in the Bible and some other Hebrew text or whatever. And I always say, you know, get your nose out of the book and start doing research outside of your box, and then you're going to understand what's really going on, because it's not all evil. It's evil only because that's where you chose to place it, and that's where your research took you, because you've chosen not to do any other research outside of your belief system or your box. And I hear this over and over, you know, if you have a military mindset, everything's a threat. And so you're going to be looking for a threat and looking for people that were harmed or people were abducted and all these other things, but you're not going to be talking to the people that are having exquisite experiences and spontaneous healings and you know, experiencing ecstatic bliss and things in their connections, because that doesn't fit within your box. And it's kind of sad, because I go, well, if you're going to promote this box over and over and over again, why should they have anything to do with you? Why, you know, that's not their job. You've chosen, your free will is to remain ignorant and stay in your little box and not look outside your box, which is really okay if that's what you choose to do. But what's sad is when you try to shove your box on everybody else and keep everybody
right.
fear and doom and gloom you know, all of that, those programs that instill fear or doom and gloom and guilt, unworthiness, all those programs and separation programs really are very disempowering. And I just want to say one more thing too, that the real story of Jesus is very empowering. The story of Jesus that they teach in most churches is very disempowering, because what they're teaching you is that somebody is going to do everything for you, and you're going to blame either God or the devil, or give credit to God or the devil for everything. And where's the personal responsibility? And where is the responsibility for the choices you've made and the reactions to those actions? You know, it's not in there. So if you really understand the true message of Jesus, you know, it takes a whole different light. And, you know, we really need to start researching, you know, okay, where was he those 30 years? You know, he went to Tibet, he went to India, he traveled, he went through all the Egyptian mystery schools. You know, he walked the walk and did his own research and did his own initiations and went through the whole gamut, which we all need to do. But, and then we can speak from, you know, a level of experience, not just what somebody at the pulpit told us. And, you know, I just think about that, like, get, you know, before you judge and condemn the Buddhist, you know, or the Muslim or any of these people, go hang out with them for a while, get to know them. And you'll find out they're down at their core, they're really good people. They might have some crazy beliefs that create separation, but, you know, that's just a program. But overall, you know, the bottom line, we all came from the same source and we all return to the same source. And it's a vast universe out there. And there's so many different expressions, you know, that if we keep focusing on it being all dark and all negative and all foreboding, that's what we're going to magnetize to us. And that's the only reality we're going to know or be able to come from.
All right. And notice, and knowing the difference, as one of Lavendar's saying, is it real or is it Memorex? Meaning, you know, is this a program that someone has implanted in me, or is this, or is this the, you know, the ultimate truth? I want to go back to one. We had a guest on several weeks ago who brought out a concept that was kind of new to me, and she was talking about the Zetas. And that the military, you know, the human military complex had managed to replicate them, and she said that there are two different kinds of Zetas: the ones that are kind of man-made, that are serving, you know, the powers that were, and then there's a faction of the Zeta population that are in alliance with the forces of light, and that they do follow cosmic law. And I thought that was really interesting, because there's been the movies and all the market and the media stuff. They're always casting them as you know, the bad guys, and it could be that they were intentionally used like that. But do you have any information on a division of like real Zetas and manufactured?
Yeah, it's a real gray area, you know.
No pun intended.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because there's the tall grays, and then there's another group, I guess some smaller grays that have existed in and of themselves. And then there's the EBs, the little biological robots that you know we've basically back engineered along with their craft as well, because some of our pilots couldn't even fly the craft. You know, we don't have that four-lobe brain, you know, that is sufficient to actually do the calculations necessary, because some of those ships, actually the being that flies them is part of the system. You know, so there's a problem with that. And you know, we tried to put joysticks on them and fly them ourselves, and a lot of crashes happened because of that. But there's so much going on in that area. I always tell people, till you get a firm understanding and your own self-authority going and learn how to clear unseen negative influences, that not to go there, you know, until you know who is who and learn how to know when there's psychotronics being involved, when you're being duped, when, you know, if the negative aspects are playing around. So it is a real gray area, and I've seen people set up over and over again by some other grays, I guess, that gave them a bunch of misinformation and set them up big time. And I even warned him. I said, "Don't go there. I don't always tell the truth. You know, they're just doing a big emotional experiment," and they didn't listen. And bam, you know, so their credibility went right down the toilet. But you know, it's really interesting world to navigate. And you know, in the books, Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods, I cover all that, and I also give the tools and techniques to maintain safe base and your energies can heal unseen negative influences and safeguards, you know, that you can put in place. Don't get influenced by, you know, a being, astral being, you know, or a low level ET or other energies. There are some major safeguards. So it's a really tricky area to navigate. I really like hanging out with the beings that have that fifth dimensional love and joy and bliss they carry around, or sixth or seventh dimensional. That's more my cup of tea, you might say.
Right. Well, then those the books are available on your website, eseti.org.
Yes.
And then the
Ultimate Soul Journey is on there too, and it talks about all experiences I had, everything from the contacts to, you know, meetings with masters to actually had a Bigfoot experience. All of these things are in that, the Ultimate Soul Journey, as well as the near-death experience. And you know that the movie Contact Has Begun, you can get that through Netflix. And they did the best near-death experience special effects I've ever seen. It blew me away when I saw it. I go, wow, that just totally triggered, you know, the memories of what I experienced.
Wow. So all this can be obtained on your website, and I would definitely recommend your books because it's good training, mm-hmm. to know, you know, who you're dealing with, because as you evolve, as you kind of let's say get taller in your mm-hmm. in your personal energy, and you start getting up higher, and you get up into different levels of consciousness, if you don't know the rules or the players, you know, you better.
you can get trouble real fast.
Yeah.
And there's faker spirits out there that'll use flattery to hook you in. And they'll tell you, you're the chosen one and you're it and this and that. And really the chosen ones are the ones who choose, you know, to engage the higher consciousness and energy. But you have to be careful. Like, some of these beings have agendas, and you know, if you are promised a bunch of fame and notoriety and money, you might want to start looking for a new guide.
Right. And you're talking about the lower vibration off-world, as well as astrals who imitate
exactly.
them.
Yeah, the astral level. Yeah. You know, there's in the astral levels, there's or fourth dimension too. There's all kinds of beings there. You know, there's some gray, some reptilian beings, some low-level contacts that are happening. There's astral beings, you know, discarnate spirits hanging around there. And, you know, there's an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And
right.
Yeah, it's better to talk to somebody that's off the wheel already, you know, off that reincarnational wheel, that, you know, talk to somebody that's mastered that, that's coming from the fifth or sixth or seventh dimension.
Right, right. Well, you don't want to be talking to a trainee.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they're eager to share, you know, they're eager to share their truth, you know. But, you know, let's say if somebody, usually there's a burn, but let's say if somebody had a really bad life, like one woman in particular, we have a picture of this woman that was sitting next to this hotel, and this guy died of a drug overdose in the hotel. And she was very oversensitive. She needed to really learn how to be more objective and learn how to shield and things like that. And she was wide open. Well, this being came and just hooked into her fields. And I got a photograph of it. And it's actually right on top of her, and you can see other layers of herself and past lives being influenced, being energized by this being. And she got very sick, very ill, and came to us, and we did a clearing and cleared the being off. And I told her, I said, there's a guy that died of a drug overdose. He has very morbid energy, no self-worth, nothing, very sticky, you know, addictive energy. And she, you know, she got well instantly, and then told her husband about it, and he didn't believe it at all. And then he got his camera back, the film back, where he took pictures of her in front of this old abandoned hotel. And sure enough, the being was just sitting right on top of her. And,
wow.
And he still didn't believe it. He went down to the police department. He said, did anybody die in this building? And they said, yeah, a young man died of a drug overdose there, you know, a few weeks ago. And he showed him the picture, and he goes, yep, that's him.
Well, how much confirmation do you need?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're out there. They're out there. But you have your aura usually, you know, fends them off. But, you know, if you've done a lot of drugs or had a lot of trauma or whatever, you can be hooked by these beings. And so I always tell people, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing and trust that and use the techniques, you know, that we share. They're in the books. And sometimes people send us an email, we send them the healing practice as well.
Well, that's really, really good advice. And we do have a couple of callers that do have questions that we're going to get to you in just a couple of minutes. I just lost my train of thought there.
One thing I wanted to add, too, is that if you sign up on the newsletter, we don't have any classes or anything on there yet, but we do self-mastery classes that teach all of these and actually teach people how to connect into, you know, the higher planes and dimensions and actually heal unseen negative influences, as well as access their own past lives and things and clear those. So we do counseling and all kinds of things along that line and teach workshops and have conferences. So sign up on the newsletter. It's free, and we'll let you know when the next events are coming.
Well, that'll be, and they can do that by going to your website, eseti.org, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
Well, I have one more question for you before I open up the switchboard here. And that is, we in our work in tracking starseeds, souls from extraterrestrial origin walking around in an Earth suit, that each person does have a guardian or a guide and that is still aboard the ship somewhere that's, you know, watching over them, members of their family or soul group. What would you say, and I know this isn't probably in your books, but if you could give it to us in a nutshell, in reaching out to your celestial overseers, your celestial guides, what would you tell people to do? I know you say they're just a thought away, but if you were wanting assistance or help or guidance, growth and healing, anything, you know, like that, give us the nutshell of how to go about doing that.
Yeah, the nutshell is these are power tools and you have to plug them in. You know, so if you don't initiate the experience and initiate the help and set the intention for it, it, you know, sometimes you'll get it anyway, automatic, but a lot of times we really need, it's a co-creative experience. So what I suggest, basically, one of the lamas I studied with, I loved his saying. He said, the reason there's so few enlightened beings on this planet, he said, is because it's so damn simple. And you just focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it, and don't let anything pull you from that center, you know. And that's the easy approach. I would also suggest, you know, going in and healing any past life trauma, any childhood trauma, any old patterns, blocks, you know, go in there and ferret those out and clear those out. And you can do that. I mean, we do that here, but you can also do it by meditation and activating, you know, your own God self or your own main teacher and guide, and ask for the help. And just do the clearings first, though. Before you do that, I always say clear your fields first and clear your energy. And that's free. You know, we show people how to do that and give them the technique to do that. But it's really important to always, I always say the easiest way is, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing. You'll be surprised how your world will change if you do that. I mean, I know people that were actually committed. They were like 5 days out from a sanitarium, and all we did was taught them how to heal unseen negative influences, and now they've learned how to clear the negative ones and actually talk to the higher ones, and they're counseling and helping people now, and they live in Hawaii, and they send me postcards, you know, saying thank you so much, you know, and you know, they were, you know, a step away from, you know, wearing, you know, in a rubber room wearing a straitjacket and being drugged, basically, or whatever. I don't know if it's going to be that extreme, but, you know, a lot of that's not necessary. You know, some people do have chemical imbalances. You have to address that, and there's other things, but a lot of that, you'd be surprised, those influences, if you get them off your back and clear your fields, how much better you feel, how much the accidents stop, you know, all the, even sickness and illness kind of starts fading out, and people have no idea how much unseen negative influences can have an effect on your everyday life.
Well, and certainly, and that's why they're so insidious, is because you don't realize that you're walking around with the, you know, poison in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean they have a mental and emotional body too. They may not have a physical body, but so do you. And so, are those your emotions you're feeling? Are those your thoughts? You know, maybe they're not. And so it's very important to clear that energy, whether it's yours or not. It doesn't matter. There are techniques to clear that energy, you know, out of your space and get back to your true nature.
Okay. Well, everyone, sign up for the newsletter and take a look at the books and things that are offered, because there's a whole lot of tools on eSETI.org. Well, we are going to go to the switchboard now and talk to a couple of our Starseed listeners. First, we are going to talk to Jeremy. Here, let me get your mic open. Jeremy, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you're well. My question is, I have probably since around November, when I know the Pleiadian activations take place at the third weekend or so, have been occasionally going out. I live in Los Angeles, so I'll occasionally go out to Malibu and bring my crystals with me and go out at sunset and wait for some of the stars and other things to appear. And so I've never really done this before, but I'm starting to feel led, and I'd love any sort of perspective on what these activities are that I'm engaging in, because of a strong, you know, I know a multidimensional desire, but I'd love to hear any context about people like myself who are going to, you know, more natural places and places at important times of day with their metaphysical tools, and what, how that's playing in our energetic, mm-hmm, evolution right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, I love the confirmation of both of what everybody is coming up with, because last year they told us November was a huge energy surge from the Pleiades and they were going to be doing some major work. And I even put it out on the newsletter and told people, and I go, they're telling this November, hang on to your hats, because a lot of energy is coming in. And now they're saying the same thing for this November coming up. They said, get ready for phase two. So it's quite interesting that you come up with the same the same information, and others are coming up with this around the world, that people that are sensitive and tapped in. You know, the only thing I could suggest is just say, hey, you know, I'm getting this guidance. Anybody want to come with me? Come on down. You know, let's anchor some energy in. Let's be conduits of this energy and send it, you know, into the grid, you know, into the whole collective consciousness, into the earth itself, and just help anchor this energy into the earth when these shifts come in.
Yeah, because I mean, it's really nothing I've really done before, but after a couple of just sort of energetic experiences in November and maybe over the last summer, I've just been really feeling it's kind of like a craving. Go out to nature. There's some place you'll need to be, and bring your crystals with you. And there's a time of day. It's usually for me, it's sunset, and I study astrology and some practices a little bit. So sunset's a very energetic time for me. And of course, the other thing that I know Lavendar and others really emphasize is when astrological conjunctions and other astrological celestial phenomenons are coming out. And I know, this past couple of days has been really major, let alone the past week, because for us who follow Neptune or Chiron or Athena, they're basically all conjunct right now. So on an astrological level, my heart goes out to all of my, you know, galactic and earth brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of energy going, and I thank you for what you've all been talking about with how to clear and how to hold on to your seat when the roller coaster is starting to get bumpy, you know.
Yeah, this is out of our control, basically. That's one of the biggest problems that we're having right now, is trying to control this energy and resisting, you know, this. And it's beyond our control. The only thing we can do is surrender and flow with it. I love that saying, resistance is futile, you know. It really is right now.
Right. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for calling,
Jeremy. Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, all of a sudden we have a lot of people on the switchboard, so let's everyone try to keep your questions brief so we can get to everyone. We're going to talk to Ralph next. Hi, Ralph. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Welcome,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate taking the call. And great show, James. You're unbelievable. And trying to keep it short, I was just wondering if you were familiar with this character or entity by the name of Adamu, who's from the Palladian. I think Galactic Federation of Light. You ever heard of him?
I have heard of the name. I haven't worked with him. That I know of. I mean, I've had a lot of beings appear and say, hey, you know, and ask them what their name is, and they go, unimportant, you know.
Oh, really? Okay. The only reason why I bring him up is because he's been channeled through this guy by the name of Zindad, and I was just wondering how real he was and what he's been channeling, the information he's been channeling. At any rate, some of the things that have been happening recently, even as early as, I think, yesterday, that a lot of the financial cabal has been coming down. Were you aware of that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And do you think that's a result of what's going on with the from the Palladians that are kind of forcing their hands and so forth?
You know, it's a combination of things. It's also the people here on the ground that are waking up, and the white hats on the inside. being inspired by the other ones and actually being backed up by the benevolent ETs. I hate to call them ETs because they really are our ancient ancestors, our brothers and sisters, or off-world visitors, I think would be more correct. But that's definitely all going down, and it's part of a bigger plan, and it's a good thing, and it needs to. I mean, there is so much abundance on this planet that if we get rid of, you know, and I hate to say the 1%, but, you know, when you got one person sitting on trillions and trillions of dollars, and you have, you know, the streets full of people that are homeless and no food, and that's just, to me, that just doesn't work for me. You know, that something needs to change.
Yeah, well, that's great. I appreciate that confirmation on that. And that's, would you agree that the White Dragon Society is part of that, and actually that they're actually part of the, they're not part of the dark side, working against the dark side?
You know what? I can't say for sure. It does seem to be unfolding in that direction. You know, what I say is that, you know, and this may sound judgmental, but I'm always saying, okay, you're given the name of these extremely high people on the food chain in the New World Order, and that they're going to be arrested and this and that. And I'm waiting to either be little eyes looking behind bars, you know. But I'm hopeful, and I really hope this is all coming down the way they say it is. I know it eventually it is going to come down that way anyway, because they're not frequency specific. You know, specific. Their world is not sustainable. It has no foundation to it. So it is going to collapse. How and when and who's going to do what in it is another story. So I don't get caught up on the details, but to me, I would like to see some of the people mentioned, you know, actually being arrested, not just leaving the country or leaving their position.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because they're saying that the George Bush Sr. and you know, Peter Hans Kohlenbach and Paul Wolf and all those guys are getting ready to be arrested, like some folks, by the way, have already been in France and Spain. But I won't belabor it anymore. I appreciate you entertaining my questions, and I look forward to your newsletter.
Great.
About what you're doing. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, Ralph. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Ralph.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, we've got 7 minutes here, and I'm going to try to get like two more callers. So please, callers, keep your questions brief. We're going to talk to Amber next. Amber, you are on the air.
Oh, okay. Hello.
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 Hi, I really enjoyed listening to you speak this evening, because I've been listening to you a little bit here and there, especially since you interviewed George Kavassalis a while back last year. When you talk about healing, I mean, there's so many things I'd like to talk about with you, but anyway, I'll keep it to my question. And,
yeah, you can always shoot me an email later, too.
Oh, all right. That would be brilliant. I mean, I met George in August last year, right after he'd been at a SETI, and it was an amazing few days there. Anyway, when you were doing healing work, are you working with your inner light and the person you're healing, their inner light, and where does your healing energy stem from?
Most of it comes from my own God self, but I'm also working directly with their main teacher and guide, and through their choice or their free will, they've come into my field, you might say, and I bring, we actually film this. There's a new technology called PIP technology, I believe. A guy came here and he filmed one of the sessions, and you can actually see this swirling vortex of energy dropping down. It comes through me, and then it starts engulfing everybody else, and it holds them in a frequency.
When you say it comes down through you, this is my, I'm going to say, concern. And the reason being is when I've heard George talk about healing, and I really get it, how this healing energy has to stem from within us.
Well, it really does, but we're accessing the fields around us, and so we're accessing our higher dimensional bodies from our core, from our own center.
Okay, that's cool. As long as it's not some fourth dimensional entity or being that's doing the sending of that energy or that you're contacting.
Oh no, we clear that out.
Pardon?
Yeah, we create a sacred space first, and we clear all those energies out. And so there aren't any beings around of that nature. Basically, there's only fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional beings hanging out when we do the clearing work.
Yay. Okay. Well, I'm interested in, and I will I'll send you an email.
Great. Looking forward.
Okay, Amber. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Amber.
Bye bye.
Well, I think we only have time for one more question, and we are going to talk to Teresa. Hello, Teresa. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. James, I wanted to ask you about the recent event with the dolphins on the East Coast that were so many were dying and beaching. Was that from the magnetics of the Earth, or was that being interfered with?
You know what? I just found out about that. I've been dealing with a lot of things here on the ranch, just trying to clean up after the snowpocalypse thing that happened here. But I haven't had a chance to look into that. I know a lot of dolphins are just splitting, basically. They're just checking out. And they are being really messed up by the changes in the magnetic fields. They're shifting rapidly. And I know there's HARP technologies and other things involved, but I haven't been able to look into that and see the source of that experience. But, you know, when I saw just... I guess off of Orange County somewhere, I can't think of where it was, off of one of the beaches down there, they had a whole mass of dolphins show up, and boy, they were just screaming through the water and going everywhere, and you could tell they had a message. You know, they were saying, hey, wake up, you know, take a look at what's going on.
I feel like that I have a really big connection with the dolphins, and I'm wondering, when they're having a hard time, then can I be feeling that as well at times?
Yeah, definitely. If you're in a telepathic connection with them, and definitely when they're stressed, you're going to feel it. You know, so yeah, definitely it could be happening. They're beautiful beings. You know, and I've seen him do some crazy things.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for calling, Teresa.
You're welcome. Mm.
Well, we only have 2 minutes left, so I'm not going to pick up any more questions because I don't want to run out of time, and I like to have a nice bow on the end of the show. So,
okay.
You know, I just want to thank you so much, James, for spending this time with us and for all the work that you're doing and the service that you give on a global level, even beyond global. Mm-hmm. And I urge everyone to visit James's website, aeseti.org. Check out his books, the videos. Definitely sign up for the newsletter. And it is my intent at some future moment to actually walk on that land myself.
Great.
And I would just love it, and I'd love to do a kind of a starseed gathering.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Of some of our, you know, our community, and just meet up out there and actually, you know, experience it firsthand. But you have really, really brought us a lot of great information and good things to think about, and we certainly appreciate that.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for bringing me on the show, and also too, just to let people know that, you know, these energies coming in are extreme, and don't beat yourself up over them, because you know, there are going to be emotional outbursts, and, you know, people are processing really deep wounds and traumas, and learn to depersonalize it, you know, when these things are coming up, and try to maintain your own center, and, you know, find that observer within yourself, and just observe the process, and know it's a good thing, although it may not feel good, you know, in the throes of it, and just realize that, you know, you're okay, you're not alone, and it's a process, and try to support each other in this process.
Well, very well said, and a good note to end on. James Gilliland of East City Ranch, thanks so much for being with us.
All right, anytime.
Okay, we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com. Thank you.